You're listening to All to Play For, brought to you by Joe and Virgin Bet.
Welcome to All to Play For, the first of our World Cup specials, brought to you by Joe and Virgin Bet, with me, Steve Sidwell, and of course, Joe Curl. So we're back in the All to Play For arms. We're going to be bringing you a legend every week to chat all things the World Cup. We'll be discussing up and coming fixtures, what players to keep an eye out for, and of course, all the inside stories that only we can do. So let's bring our first legend in. Join us today. We have got a former England international that broke into the Chelsea first team along the likes of Gianfranco Zola and Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink before moving on to Upton Park to become a West Ham hero, certainly. He is now a broadcaster, a coach and a mentor and probably one of the funniest guys in football. Buzzing to get him on for the first show. It's Colton Cole.
Oh, what an intro.
Colton, welcome to the show, mate.
The icon.
It is. Colton, how are you, mate?
I'm good, man. How are
good?
You?
Good.
Great to see you.
You're a bit tired this morning, yeah?
Oh, it's
non-stop. Mate, he's non-stop working. He's working. Everywhere.
It's non-stop, mate. It's non-stop. Straight after this, I'll go again.
How do you balance it? Like the mentor?
I don't balance, Keith. I'll wing it, Keith. There's no organisation in my life whatsoever, but I get things done.
It works.
Right, look, let's get right involved. Lads, the World Cup. Yeah. The excitement's here now. A few days away before the opener.
Yeah.
How excited are we?
Mate, I'm excited. Like, I'm going out there.
Yep.
I'm...
Are you buzzing to be out there? First one working.
Yep. I'm buzzing a little bit. I don't know what to expect because of the timing of the year. So I'm excited, but there's a bit of trepidation because I don't know... I've never been to Doha.
Yeah.
Mm. Obviously, you know, I just don't know what to expect. Yeah. I'm excited, so it feels like, you know, when you're going, a little bit of butterflies as well, which I haven't had for a long time, so it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Look, you're going at that capacity where obviously you're going out of, like, to go and critique players and critique the tournament and be a pundit, but, like, with me, you're going, but I'm going to have all the jobs that you leave. So I can't wait for you to leave. So now, to be honest, it's been I'm just excited because like obviously it's gonna be. I actually haven't done a World Cup, with actually punditry or just working on it in this side of life. So it's really gonna be eye opening for me, and I'm happy to be even getting jobs, and being asked to do stuff creatively as well. So
brilliant,
it's gonna be really good.
It's not really a hype, is it? It's like it's a global event. It's a World Cup. It's strange. It's really strange. But I'm sure once the first game gets going,
man, we can hype it up in this.
Let's hype it up straight away. Yeah. Get some predictions. Who's going to win it? Listen, you think it's going to be an outsider or a favourite? Just straight down the line.
Okay.
Who's your tip to win?
My heart's England, but my tip to win it is all the pundits are is going for Brazil.
Yeah,
I've got a little sneaky feeling Spain might.
Yeah.
I've watched them just because it's going to take a team, Sids, to win this game. Mm. I've watched them against Italy a few weeks ago and they was outstanding. Like, they just looked strong. I thought at the Euros, remember the semi-finals?
Mm. Yeah.
They were better than the Italians who went on to win it.
Yeah.
They really outplayed them. They was unlucky. Got a nice blend of experience. Still got Busquets in the middle. You got Gavi and Pedri. So the midfield's solid. A little bit concerned scoring goals, but we've seen them win a World Cup in 2010, only scoring 6 or 7 goals. Defensively, they're strong. Like, it's just got a nice balance, and nobody's talking about them.
Yeah, nice.
So I think they could be that one. So I'm gonna give Spain a little tip.
Colin?
Obviously, as you said, hearts with England.
Yeah.
But then you look at teams like France.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Spain, that's enough. That's a great shout. Yeah. Germany, vast experience.
There's a few, isn't there?
Yeah, vast experience and winning things. And I think, you know, to make a team, a winning team, I really think that your backroom staff are the most important.
Yeah.
Because they set the environment. Yeah. And France at the moment, obviously they've got their superstars in Mbappe. I think Nkunku just got injured.
Yeah, I saw that today. Yeah. He's a great player.
And Pogba as well. So it's going to be a big miss.
So you're saying France?
But I think they've just got the know-how to do it. Plus, they didn't have a great Euros.
They
didn't play bad, but they was unlucky in certain parts of the Euros, which they obviously got knocked out in the end. So I'm going, I'm going to go France because they're going to be coming back with a bang. What about you, Sid?
I'm going to go England.
Yeah, nice. I like
it. I think just from the Euros, I know they've had a bit of a dip, the build-up to the tournament, which I think could be a blessing in disguise.
Mm.
Just with the pressure on them.
Mm.
But I just think I think this is the one.
You reckon, yeah?
Yeah, I think this is the one. I really do. Look, there's a lot being said about Messi. It's possibly be Messi's last World Cup.
Yeah.
I believe if they get all the way through, the final is his 1,000th career game.
So Hollywood writer would have written that.
It's written in the stars, isn't it?
Is that written in the stars? Argentina, you know.
I took my boys to watch Messi play in the Finalissima at Wembley. Got tickets because I thought this was at the back end of last season when he wasn't at his best, Messi. Obviously he had a few injuries and things like that, and I thought I might not never get a chance. He might jack it in after this season and he might never play in England again. So we went to watch him anyway. He was majestic. Really? Like I've been fortunate enough to play against him on a few occasions, and you know, but just to sit back and watch
and
him live
with
my, like, the boys were just like they we had good tickets, was quite close, and they was in awe, and it was just like,
what's his movement like?
So when you're obviously watching him live, when you're playing against him, you're involved in the game. But when you're watching him live, the ball's over there, but you must just watch him to see what he does. But you must go, he doesn't move. He just doesn't move.
Yeah,
you're waiting
I've
for the ball to get
well,
to him, aren't you? Because you know something special is going to happen.
He doesn't move. And this team that's set up around him is a youthful, Scaloni the manager, is a youthful, energetic, vibrant team. And he, like, they sort of, you know, like, they accept him. So you've got Martinez up front, who does the work of two men.
Yeah.
He grafts.
He does graft.
You've got the midfield. You had Lo Celso in the midfield. He was getting around. He was getting out. You had Martinez at the back
at
next
the back
to Romero.
Well.
So down the spine of the team, they were strong. And he just wandered. He wanders. He plays off. That's why I say he's the best I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He plays off instincts. There was no pattern to what he'd done. Like, sometimes he come and played in a number four position and dropped deep. Then all of a sudden he goes and stands out wide on the right.
Yeah.
So you couldn't even assign a player to deal
to
with
deal
him.
With him yeah.
I don't think he knows where he's going to play. He feels the game.
He just feels it, yeah.
Oh, it was brilliant.
Do you know what, like, with obviously, we're talking about who's going to win the World Cup, but that's a great shout.
Yeah.
Argentina.
Because
they've got 5 games unbeaten. Yeah.
They've got grafters in there. They can play strong. They can play with different characters in there that can actually change games.
Yeah.
They're not always just relying on Messi, by the way.
No, they've got some.
And that's the secret of it as well. So they let him perform, but they don't gear up just for Messi, because if he has an off day, then the whole team has an off day. They can all chip in. But Martinez at the back, that's like, he's done wonders for Man United right now, isn't it? Gosh. So he's going to be really stern for them.
A few pundits have dived in two-footed on him because of his height.
Have they? We've actually seen it happen before. Mascherano,
yes.
When he went
Argentinian,
when he went Barca,
centre half.
Centre half.
We'll get at him. We'll get the ball. No,
Nah, he doesn't have it. It's like a little pit bull, innit? Yeah. Like, and he gives that. And he sets the precedent for the type of game it's going to be, because he gets in amongst it. So, look, Argentina are a great shout.
They've
got
every chance. Look, going from one icon to another, Ronaldo. We've got to just touch on it. It could be his last chance as well with the World Cup. I'm sure the Portuguese Federation are not happy with all this being blown up before with the preparations for the World Cup in terms of their own camp. But I mean, would you make on that? Do you think it's going to be a problem for Portugal? I mean, you see the Fernandes handshake in the week. Was there?
Listen, see that when we're talking about the handshake, they see each other every day.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So he's coming, he's seen Ronaldo, he's sitting next to him again, by the way.
Yeah.
So, oh yeah, you're right, Geese.
He might have beat him at FIFA or something.
Yeah. So I want to read into that. So, because you know Bruno's got massive respect for him.
Yeah. Right?
Obviously. Obviously that story come out. But I don't think it's going to unsettle the camp as much. I think they know their environment. I think everything's always been geared up to Ronaldo, but Ronaldo has to now he's going to have to take a back seat at some capacity. Yeah. So it's going to be quite a strange dynamic, but I think they'll get around it.
What do you think, Sid? Because he's coming into this tournament now, Ronaldo, for the first time in his career since he was a teenager where he's not playing.
I know.
And we talk about Messi, the group accepting what he can't do because of what he can do.
Yeah.
Do you think that group of Portuguese players, do you think there's anybody in that group thinking, maybe he don't start. Maybe we go with João Félix up top.
Think
they're still behind
João Félix?
I think with Ronaldo there, I think he's just going to go into an environment where he's accepted.
Yeah.
He's going to have his comfort.
Loved.
And then he's, I think, listen, it wouldn't surprise me if he comes out.
Top goal scorer again. Of the league.
Just because his mindset as well.
And because he's got that energy right now, like, he wants to prove everyone like wrong, and he's the only one that I could say will go out and do that.
Yeah.
Because he's done it before.
Yeah.
Like, he'll just go and score an overhead kick and then just shut everyone up. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So that's the sort of player he is. And he can still do that at his old age of 37.
Yeah.
I say old age. Yeah. But yeah, he's still going.
You're Matt Leao from Milan on off the left.
I tell you, you've read,
oh, Leao,
you've read,
I know.
You've read your stats page.
He has to.
No, I've been watching, man. I've been on it, man.
He's got to. He's a professional. He's going out. He's going to go and embarrass himself.
I need to lay out. After the Saudi Arabia team.
I've got a few.
Saudi, no. Saudi, I'm not giving you the Saudi one, Geez.
I ain't got it.
Look, talking to Saudi.
Yes, I'm going in alphabet.
South Korea.
Of the Saudis and some of the other teams, dark horses. Is there anyone? Because normally you get these competitions, whether it's an African team or there's normally one that just surprises a surprise like, package.
Do you, Moroccan anyone, team?
Anyone that can go?
Yeah, if you can throw someone out there you think could be a surprise. The Colton Cole
team.
You've heard it.
Let me just look at these flags behind us.
What about someone like Senegal or someone like the African team? Yeah. They've got a
There'll always be a chance, but you got to understand most of these players play in Europe. So when you talk about the Heat, they're not even used to it themselves, mate.
I remember before 2002 World Cup, we played Cameroon in a friendly.
Yeah.
There's a great Cameroon team, Samuel Eto'o, Webu.
Yeah. Ooh, Jeremy, Webu. Yeah, Jerry, like, Jerry, boy. Professor.
And, mate, the heat.
Yeah.
After the first 10 minutes, I've never played in. It was just draining.
Yeah.
They were loving it. They was all over the
place. Were they?
They embraced the heat and it made the game. I think we drew the game 2-2.
Yeah.
And they should have beaten us.
Yeah, we
had a great side. And but it was like. And then when you want to. I thought, that's my chance.
Yeah.
But because I couldn't. You made one run and and I couldn't felt drained.
It's a bit like me playing out in Indonesia. That was hard. That was hard. Yeah. So obviously the World Cup, they're gonna be playing at certain times, aren't they? And in Indonesia when we're playing out there, basically we'd only train before the sun rose.
And then
we play the games at night.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because it changes the game and the rhythm,
Well, look, let's give you some Virgin Bet odds. Outright winners for the World Cup. Brazil, we just said there, favourites 4-1. Argentina, with Messi, 5-1. England, 17-2. Come on, England. Wales, a massive 200-1. Look, let's talk England.
Yeah. Mm.
Gareth Southgate's squad.
Yeah.
Any surprises for you that got in or that?
No massive surprises.
No.
I think he's I think having 26 men has really helped him because there'd have been some omissions. And
who would have been in that omissions, though?
Oh, that's a good shot.
That's the one, isn't it?
It's the players who've probably not featured as much. You know, maybe you'd have been talking about players on the peripheries of it.
I'd have gone Madison. He wouldn't have put Madison in.
That's a possibility, although I think Madison should have been one of
the should have been,
ones.
Yeah.
But I think he's a good squad he's picked. From the moment you named the team, which is Thursday, and then starting... game can't have been 2 weeks, right?
So
you didn't give the press any reasons to like go at him to start on a negative footing. So say for instance he left out Madison, straight away Madison's the most informed player in the country, then there would have been the press and the media would have been straight away, and you don't want that negative.
You don't want that repeat of the Grealish thing.
Yes, you don't. That
took a lot of away from the actual squad that was actually good enough to. And look what they done. Look what they went and done. They went
you
to the finals.
You just mentioned there Grealish, Madison. Look, you sport for choice on that attacking lineup: Harry Kane, Sterling, Saka, Grealish, Foden, Rashford, Madison. Who gets in your front three? We go front three at the top.
I'll go front three.
So who would you get in your?
You have to go front three, actually, isn't you?
Well, Kane's Harry Kane. Kane's Harry Kane. I did a piece in a newspaper, my column, and we talked about this, and they're trying to press me for the starting 11, and it's hard because we're going in without getting all the information in the sense. We don't see the training, we don't see the characters, we don't know we don't know all of the story. So what I would say is, and I'm not dodging the question, Harry Kane is the number 9.
Yeah.
It'll be Sterling or Saka off the left.
Stalwart.
And whichever one starts, the other one will come on.
It'll be Sterling.
Yeah. And then
start Sterling. So Kane, Sterling for
Foden and Grealish. Off the right, they can flip sides. Yeah. You know, like so you might play Grealish off there. You might bring, say, for instance, you start
depending on what kind of game it is. Yeah,
but one will start and one will finish.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, which you're gonna have to use 5 subs. And then in the midfield, I'll start Rice, Bellingham, and Mount or Madison. depending on who you get that instinct for, and one will start and one will finish. And that's three subs already done. Yeah. And that's my sort of attacking unit.
That's your attacking unit. Yeah, so mine would be, mine's not as intricate as that.
Front three, Kane at the top.
So Kane at the top,
yeah.
Off the left, Raheem.
Yeah.
On the right, Foden.
Got him.
Yeah.
Like that. Then just behind that, Mount, and then Bellingham, Rice.
Yeah.
I think he'll go with that.
Who are you going as? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think that would be
the majority. And you're right, they can flip between your Saka's coming on or your Greedy Shoes or your Madison's coming on.
And depending on how well they do in the first game, the second game, then you can start tinkering with it a little bit, maybe not start.
And as a coach, I get all of them players together
and
explain to them, you know, sit them down and go, look, we're here for, you know, you break it down, we're here for 50 days.
Yeah.
This is the World Cup. We've got seven games. You break it down, it's 700 minutes of football.
Yeah.
We've got to score 10 goals because that's the average amount of goals scored goals, and it's got to come, it's going to come, you're my creative force, it's going to come from you, like, and you're going to, you know,
don't be disheartened. You're a group,
you've got to support each other.
Yeah.
If you don't start,
you know you're coming up,
you give it everything.
Do you know what Coley, like, it's the way you dress it up at the start of the tournament. Like I was talking to someone the other day, and then I've never looked at it like this. So they said, even if you're a sub, don't call it sub.
No.
Yeah,
call
finisher.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
that changed my perspective on, actually, I'm part of this team and I'm coming to finish the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm a finisher.
To make an impact.
Yes.
Yeah. Look, let's talk about the back line. Trippier's in good form at Newcastle. Yeah. Obviously, Reece James is a massive miss. Not a lot of people, I know Ben White's got in, not a lot of people are saying about him starting, whether it be at right back, at Arsenal, top of the league, he's been playing in very good form, or even at centre-half instead of Harry Maguire. Like, I think Harry Maguire starts.
I think he has to start.
With his Sids. I've wrestled with this because, you know, Harry, you got Harry Maguire in an England shirt, you got Harry Maguire in a United shirt, and, you know, I think he'll start him, Harry Maguire, because I think he brings you that leadership. I think he'll breathe when he gets in there. Like, similar to Ronaldo, left mate. It must be terrible to play for Man United at the moment. Because
for him.
He's going to come there and it's just going to look... So I think he'll go with Harry Maguire. But you're right. Mm. Ben White at right back. And Ben White is a type of character who I think will flourish in international football.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem to be...
Phased by
anything. Mm. So, yeah,
he
could get in as well. Makes it a bit more solid.
Yeah, I'll go with Harry Maguire because I don't think he's ever let England down in an England shirt.
Mm.
Yeah, we could talk about his form, club form, and it's actually unfair for him to be going to the World Cup because he's not in no club form at the moment. But when you're talking about football and you're talking about at that level, he's not put a foot wrong. I haven't seen it for quite a while, so he's always been
with the group we got as well, Coley.
Yeah,
it's an opportunity for him to play himself into form. Like, he might, let's just be honest, without being disrespectful to the other teams, there's an opportunity for England to dominate the game and him to not have a lot to do, get his confidence up. He ain't going in straight first
with the group. With the group, you're right. That's a good idea.
Literally, I want to go on to the group. We're in Group B. We've got USA, Wales, and obviously Iran.
Yeah.
It parallels to 2010.
Yes.
Mm.
That's true.
It should be a straightforward group, but that is a potential banana skin for England to slip up.
Depends how we attack it, though. I think if you they attack it like they have been of late,
because
it's not the team of 2010. It's a different mentality as well. Yeah. I think they'll be... Because I think they're more stronger now, mentally.
Yeah.
Because to get where they got to in the Euros, you have to be up there strong. I know it obviously slipped at the last hurdle, but it doesn't matter. I think where he's got them as a team, I think they'll always be good.
Yeah.
They'll get to that part. They'll get out of the group stages quite easy.
Yeah, chalk and cheese. I don't have no worries. But the great thing about the group is there's a story in every game.
Yeah.
Obviously, England and Wales, the derby, 2016.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
So there's that. England, America seem to just, you know... got this great relationship as countries, but they just seem to keep turning us over at important occasions. You've got players in their team like Pulisic
who
want to prove. There's a lot of players who've come to England and failed from that in that group of players that
want to prove themselves. Like they're
and
good enough.
Iran as well, they've got, that's their own story as well.
Look, you've obviously played in World Cups. How important is it to win the first game? Is there huge pressure to...
There's huge
you want to go and play well, but
That first game.
Got to get 3 points in the first game.
The World Cup's right. It's like pressure like no other. When I look back in it, I didn't feel anything at the time. I saw it enough. Now I'm looking back with hindsight. I saw it in other players' eyes, big players who got it, because it's like you've been building up to this thing for 4 years, and then building up the press has been. But there's been usually there's no Premier League football, so everything in the press for 3 weeks is building up to this moment.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's like. I used to say, like, you have the Premier League games, which would, if you're lucky enough to play Premier League, that's your general stuff. Champions League games would go up a little bit.
Yeah.
But the World Cup, in terms of media spotlight and pressure, was up there. So that's why when I talk about you pick character over anything else in World Cups, because of people like Ben White, James Maddison, I look at them and I don't base it on nothing factual. Just look at them and the way that they play, the way that they hold themselves. And I think they're the sort of players who will embrace international
football. They definitely will.
And like that, it's an ignorance, but it's good ignorance.
He says something interesting there, like obviously the build-up to a game. So when the press, because look, as footballers, you always, if you was going to be in the squad, you'd be looking if I'm going to be in the squad or I'm going to be, or what are they saying about me because I don't want it to affect my squad chances. So you do, but because the Premier League has been on till now, and then everyone's got, the squad's come out and everyone's going to, whoever's going, to Qatar. I think it's been less pressure building up to it.
Yeah.
As in, when it's coming to the back end of the season, like if it was placed in the summer, it would be more pressure and then people start getting more tense. Yeah. And
more time to...
Exactly. Yeah. So I think it might work in England's favour.
But let me flip something on you then. I talk about characters, right? So your Madisons and your Ben Whites are going to go and play free. Harry Maguire, he's going to step onto that pitch knowing that there's a groundswell of people in the country who probably don't think he should be their fans.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Everyone can have their opinion entitled.
Yeah.
So he's going to play. It must be horrible to be a player, especially a defender, Sid, or someone defensive-minded like yourself, thinking, I don't want to put a foot wrong here.
I can't believe he's thrown you on a defensive role, Geese. Defensive-minded. I saw you as an attacker, mate.
Sid, he was a what-if player. Like,
He did protect.
Don't worry about that. Someone else will deal with it, player.
He'll deal with that player.
Yeah, he'll deal. Sid's got that.
We're up there trying to do something. Sid's going, guys, I'll take this fight.
Look, talk about pressure. Wales,
in
the first World Cup since 1958. Gareth Bale obviously leading the line. How do you reckon they'll go? I mean, we've got to be favourites to top the group.
Yeah.
You'd like to think they'd...
It's a funny one with the Welsh, isn't it? Because I want England to go through, obviously, but I'd like the Welsh to go through as well.
Of course.
But they would love Wales to go through. Yeah. Just to get turned
they would, yeah, yeah. Wales would love that.
They would love it. So, like, we're sort of... Do you know what I mean?
Actually, yeah, you're right, you know, because... Some of the Welsh lads that I've spoken to, they've
yeah, of course.
There's
course,
been some underlining comments that I don't really like, but I let them get away with it because they've never had any form of success in it. So you know what I mean? You leave them alone.
This goes out to Wales, you know.
I don't mind. They can batter me if they want. It's all right. It's only a bit of banter.
Right. Listen. Talking about now, let's have a little bit of a laugh.
Right.
We've got our own version here of the Virgin Bet Fives game.
Yeah.
So every week, our guest and our co-host, they're going to come up against each other and create their very own five-a-side team. This week, we're going to be looking at the first four matches of the tournament. So Qatar, Ecuador, England, Iran, Senegal versus Netherlands, and USA versus Wales. Okay, so in this bowl, we've got a selection of players from each of them teams. All right, I want you to both take it in turns to pick five names at random to select your five-a-side team, okay? If any of the players score in their selected match, we'll tally the goals up and record them on our leaderboard. Mm-hmm. You get 1 point for every goal scored. So if you pick Harry Kane and he gets 2 goals, you'll get 2 points, okay? We'll revisit the leaderboard every week. At the end of it, obviously, we want our co-host to be higher than our guest, okay? Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sounds simple?
Simple as.
Who wants to go first?
You're the guest, Coley.
Okay, I'll do that. Go Thank in. You very much.
You can't have two.
Is that two?
Yeah.
Is that still two?
No, that was
right,
one.
You're right. You're good.
You're good.
Who's your first one?
Steven Bergwijn.
But that's a decent.
Yes, good start.
The Netherlands.
Yep, Netherlands winger. Registered 8 goals in 14 appearances for Ajax this season. Ooh, so he's in good form going
to form.
I like him.
Joe?
Right, I'm in there. Harry Kane.
There's some good ones in there.
Brennan Johnson. Wales.
Yeah, Welsh international. Well, listen, touted for the future.
Nottingham Forest.
Future of Welsh international, for Welsh football. He scored 2 goals in 15 games for Wales, but lightning down the the wings. Got a chance of scoring goals.
Yeah.
Pleased with that?
I'm happy with that.
A little bit of Joe Cole.
Yeah, I like that. A youngster. Like, there's always a youngster at World Cup.
Yeah.
Colin?
There's always a youngster.
Good start for both of you.
Yeah. Iran's holding midfielder, please.
Yeah. It's just fate sometimes.
Fate.
I've got the big Harry Kane,
mate.
Harry Kane. Forward. So, listen, England captain, 51 international goals. Mm-hmm. He's too shy of Wayne Rooney's record.
Yep.
He'll be looking to finish top goal scorer, won't he?
Surely. He'll be looking to break that on the
certainly will.
Monday afternoon.
He will.
Off to a flyer.
Yeah, I am.
I'm banging trouble here. All right, here we go. West Ham legend. Enna Valencia.
Yeah.
Enna Valencia, West Ham striker, former West Ham striker. Impressive goal scoring record for his country. 35 goals in 74 games. In good form as well for Fenerbahce. So, 2 good ones for you there.
That's decent.
Let's carry on, Colin.
I like Enna. Great guy. I'm flying.
All you've got. Have you heated these little bits of paper up?
Yeah,
the good ones.
Phil Foden, man.
Phil Foden, yeah, wow.
Cutting in from the right, Bosch, left foot, top bins, mate.
He has been in good form this year. 7 goals in 14 Premier League games.
Wow, yeah, he's on flames, to be fair.
He is, mate.
So he's the potential one. Does he or does he not start?
Yeah.
He does.
I think he starts.
Okay.
Right, Joe, over to you.
All right, here we go. Mate, I'm going strong. I'm going strong on the Ecuador.
Remember that flag around your neck, mate.
Who've you got? Zeno or Estupinan?
Purvis Estupinan.
Yeah, Purvis Estupinan. Listen, Brighton done very well for Brighton this year. Flying left winger, loves to get forward on the front foot. He can score goals, so you've all got chances here.
Yeah.
Come on, Purvis, son. Get on it. If you're listening, Purvis.
Come on, Purvis, mate.
You got it.
I'm sure he's listening to the pod on the way to training.
Who we've got here now?
Can't keep getting big ones, Coley, surely.
Okay. Ismail Assar.
Pace.
Yes. Watford Ford. 6 goals, 3 assists so far in the Championship. So he's been in decent form, but he's...
Yeah, he's a threat.
He's a threat.
He's a big threat.
Coley.
Look, come on. Give me a big one. Come on. Give me a big one.
He's just gone for the biggest folded paper.
Oh, mate, you're going to buzz at this.
Where's he got now?
Mate.
Who is he got?
Hassan Al Haidos from Qatar. Listen, I ain't got a Scooby, you
listen,
are some. But
listen, Hassan Al Haidos, look, striker, 31-year-old captain.
Come on, last
one each.
Hold on.
I can't get this
team,
mate.
Hey, mate, I'll beat you. You know I beat your hands down already, innit? Hold on. This is the one.
Come on.
Is the icing on the cake.
The Qataris. Come on, son.
Oh, I'll take that. Aaron Ramsey. Well.
Aaron Ramsey, the blonde hair is back, apparently.
Yeah.
Nice midfielder. He's notched up 20 goals for his country. He ran out of his day. He's goal scoring midfielder.
Yeah.
For a thriver being the World Cup.
Yeah, he will do.
Colby, that completes your team. Joe, last one for you.
I need a striker, Sids.
Yeah,
need I need striker. Someone who's going to... Otherwise, I'm banging trouble.
Okay.
Ho, he's back.
What have you got?
Memphis Depay.
Decent. Yeah, you are back.
Excellent record for the Netherlands. He's 34 goals and 23 assists.
Wow.
In 47 international games.
Phenomenal numbers.
Some big names that you've pulled out there.
Yeah. I'm happy with my squad.
Are you happy with yours, Colin?
Very, very happy.
You've obviously got Harry Kane. He's going to be your main man.
Harry Kane's the main man. Then you've got, obviously, Bergwijn. That's in good form. Yep. Doing really well at Ajax. Phil Foden, man of the hour. Ismail Assar. He's going to want to come up to speed. He's going to do really well up there. And then Aaron Ramsey.
If you if you want to get involved at home, it's easy to do. Just download the Virgin Bet app and head over to Virgin Bet 5 to reveal a player every day to make up your five-a-side squad. If one of your players scores a goal in their selected game, Bet will credit your account with cash money. It is as simple as that. Just head over to Virgin Bet app now for your chance to win some World Cup cash. So simple. Please visit Virgin Bet app for full terms and conditions. You've got to be over 18 to play. Please gamble responsibly. BeGambleAware.org. Joe, let's go to your World Cup experiences, please.
Yes.
You've been at three World Cups. What's it like? What's the nerves when you the build up for the tournament?
Well, I think all tournaments have their own sort of energy. You know, the first one in Japan was wanting to as a young kid. Like, I weren't expecting to play. I come on against Sweden, I think it was, in the first game, but I was there to learn and embrace it. It was a great experience. Germany, was played every game.
Yeah.
It was incredible. And you know you've got an opportunity to do something amazing. Mm. You know, it's incredible. It's sort of only been done in the 60s, so you're so switched on. It's so intense. That's why Sven was very good, because when I look at Sven... You know, he got tournament football. All right, we didn't get the job done. He made it so easy and so natural. And we was unlucky under Sven. Three quarterfinals, 2002, 2001, 2006.
It's definitely a more relaxed environment under Sven than any other tournament.
And then Capello in 2010, I think he just misread the room. He just, you know, it was like already a stressful environment. Mm. And he layers of stress. English players of our generation, we suffered from, like, the bad, you know, what happened in the past. So
anxiety
and the way we played and everything like that. These guys have broke the back with that now. They've got some success. It's joyful to play for England again. So, you know, the 2010 was a stressful place to be. Like, lads would... It's hard for the man on the street to think, how can you not enjoy it?
Yeah.
But it was a funny kind of thing. But 2002 and 2006, absolutely loved. I loved the whole experience. Going, playing football with your mates in... Going to watch football, you know, it was just great.
Was it? Listen, you're a player was a maverick, and would you play off the cuff? Did you, with that pressure that is so heightened that you said earlier on, was it one of the ones where you didn't want to make a mistake, or was that just them shackles released with you as a player?
No, it didn't bother me playing for England, like. In that sense, but I see a lot of top players it did.
Yeah.
You know, like we talked about, the build up to the games was long and drawn out, and it sort of just built this pressure. And so I think us as people, we don't want to let people, we're very polite English people, so we don't want to make mistakes. Whereas I think people that's our culture. And I think conservative. And so when we go in there, everyone's like, oh, I don't want to make a mistake. Yeah. You can't play like that at World Cup.
Yeah.
Because when you're playing against the South Americans, or the Africans, they play with freedom.
And enjoying it. Looks like they're enjoying it. Coley, you see, like, obviously, like, I was in a couple of the build-up games, the warm-up games coming up to the World Cup, and I felt, obviously, under Capello especially, obviously, I felt that it was so much, it was so intense at camp.
Yeah.
Like, it was always, like, and there was a division as well.
Yeah.
So that didn't help.
Yeah.
That was all, because it wasn't in the real unit. If you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And that's me coming in to a new squad and just seeing how
you guys
worked.
You would have seen it with new
eyes,
but that was like, that was like 10 years previous to that. That's what it was like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There was the division of the camp.
And then, so if you saw one of the main guys, say Frank Lampard or Gerrard or Rio Ferdinand, and you see the pressure actually getting on them.
Yeah.
And you come seeing that and you're thinking, these guys are mustard. The stalwart, the heart of the squad, and then they're like shaking, quivering in their boots, in their boots, but nervous.
Yeah.
What does that do for you, seeing your leaders like that?
Yeah, I know. Well, if I was a manager, looking back, you get in a time machine, I'd go back and I'd be focused on breaking up the cliques. So I'd speak to my senior players, JT, Rio, Stevie, Frank, Wayne Rooney. I'd make like a leadership group.
Yeah.
And I'd say, look, it's on you guys. This is your time.
Mm.
You're going to be sitting there in 10, 15 years' time, and you'll look back and you'll be gutted.
Yeah.
You let these opportunities slip because of something that is there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you need to leave it at the door.
Yeah.
You need to find a way. And then what I'd be as a manager, you know, you'd be you'd stick. I'd be very, very loose with the.
With the, rules.
The lads, with the
freedom,
rules.
Like, freedom,
freedom. Yeah. I give them freedom, but our demands will be on the training. Whenever we train, or whenever we're doing something, we do it properly. Whenever we're doing any tactical work on a video, we do it properly. Yeah. Apart from that, it'd be freedom. Yeah. Let the lads live because they're grown men. I think that's the crucial thing. I'd get the leadership group, and I'd work on ways within the group to bring it together
and bind.
That's what we've done. And I think Gareth has noted that because he was experienced.
Yeah, because he experienced it.
I played with Gareth. He saw it. And he's addressed that and he's completely
club environment
that 5 years ago.
Yeah, it's a club
environment. Now it's a club environment. They're all together, you know, to the detriment, Sids, as well, because we sit there and we watch the games on telly and we see like Man City beating Chelsea and then the players all, you know, like chatting afterwards, high-fiving and all that. And we sit there and
But we never used to do that.
No,
if we got beat by our rivals, we're going to go and talk to them afterwards.
More likely
we'll give a couple of weeks. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
More likely to have a punch up in the tunnel afterwards or a disagreement.
Yeah,
so, but these lads are different.
Different.
They manage to separate and they're much better at it.
And that's
than we
helping
were.
The England squad right now.
They've definitely got a good group. Right, Carlton, it's time for What Really Happened, where we're going to go back to a moment in your career that we want to find out more about. We're going to go back to 2009. Mm-hmm. When you got called up to play for England for the first time. Can you remember that day? Where was you?
I remember because I'd already been having banter with Craig Bellamy because he'd already been saying to me that he'd set up a load of my goals and that was making me look good. So I was like, no, you haven't. I've been working hard as well, do you know what I mean? But we're a partnership here. It's not all on you. And I've just been standing in the middle of the goal hanging, and you've been giving me the balls. So, look, then I've just... The way I actually found out is when I came in one time. Obviously, I was fashionably late in training. I've gone in to get my bits and bobs done. Obviously, strapping, whatever you need to do before you go out to training. And then the physio called me in. And usually, at any time, it's always the physio that know before everyone else because the England physio tells the our physio, our club physio, is he fit?
Right.
Yeah. They always ask, is he fit? Yeah, so it's always the club physio that tells you, by the way, you're in the squad. So I've gone in to go and do my strapping, and then he's come up to me, he goes, oh, congratulations. I've gone, what do you mean? Yeah.
Is that not a bit of an anticlimax?
If it had been on time, the gaffer. Listeners, what's happened there? Cody's late for training on this occasion, and rather than walk through the canteen and risk seeing one of the coaches, he's gone in the back door to the physio room, got his strapping on, and go straight as a training.
That's exactly
what happened.
Right? That's how it happened.
Carry on.
Yeah. I didn't want to say it like that, but that's, because I've got... Remember, I'm an example to the kids nowadays, bro. You're killing me. No, but honestly, that's how it did happen. Basically, that's how it happened. So I get my strap in. He's gone, congratulations. I've gone, ooh. And then I started... Yeah, and then I've gone out to train and everyone's congratulating me because the rumours have spread, but I was the last one to know. Everyone else knew before me.
How special is that?
Because I was late.
Was that a special moment for your career? You know, because this is
of course.
Play for your country.
Yeah, of course.
You
look,
and your family...
Played under 18s, under 19s, under 2021s football. So when you're going all through that, those categories, and then you want to get into that first team, didn't you? That's like natural progression.
Yeah.
But because I hadn't been playing, so through those years, I hadn't been playing regular first team football. So when I did finally get the regular first team football, then I started to get noticed, and that's when I started going to those sort of heights, playing with the likes of Coley, obviously, and Lampard, JT, the ones that I'd already left at Chelsea, reuniting with them at that level. So it was unbelievable.
Fabio Capello was manager.
Mm-hmm.
What was the relationship like? How did you get on with him? Or was it a sort of just a working relationship with the call-ups when you was there?
It's a hard one, that the relationship. Yeah. I don't think there was much of a relationship.
They always feel like there's a distance.
Yeah, I actually got on with Baldini more than Fabio because Fabio hardly spoke any English.
Yeah.
So it was hard to conversate with him. And every time we did try and conversate with him, he was actually shouting at us. So it was hard to strike up a conversation and a relationship with the geezer, but obviously he's top, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he's just like, that was the language barrier was really hard to get a relationship. But he did call me in loads of his squads.
Yeah.
So he obviously liked me, but I think he liked probably my charisma or me being around the squad, because I kind of softened the blow in certain areas that he needed. He probably thought like that. Because I was in loads of squads, but I didn't actually play a lot.
And
I didn't start a lot either. Well, I didn't start.
Well, you come off, off the bench a lot of times in the squads. You missed a chance to go to the World Cup 2010 with a knee injury.
Yeah,
you had the chance gutted. Of going there. I mean, how hard was that to take?
Yeah, that was really hard because obviously going World Cup, man. It was one of those ones where I felt that it was possible. You know, I think he really did want to take me, but I got a bad knee injury against. I think it was against Burnley at Upton Park. And I'd gone in for a challenge, and I'd done my PCL, and I'd done a little bit of my ACL as well. So that was, and then I tried to get back fit in time. I didn't have an operation. That was my problem. I didn't have an operation because I went to see the knee surgeon, and he says, "Listen, if you have your knee up, you ain't gonna make it. And then if you don't have it, if you don't have your knee up, you can just do like the rehab stuff and try and strengthen the muscles around it. And that you might make it, but you might not come back the same." And that was the decision I had to make. And then we was in dialogue with England and everything like that, but it just got to a point when I didn't do the up, and I went down that route, but I just couldn't find that form to even change his mind for the last few games of the season. So it wasn't really, there was no point in it. I should have had the up.
sliding doors, isn't it? Like little moments like that, decisions to make.
Amazing. I mean, listen, being involved with England is, you know, the pinnacle of your career. So you've been lucky enough to go to a tournament. Look, let's get back to the tournament.
Yeah.
Are we expecting to shine in this individual-wise? Is there any players that you're looking at thinking, I'm looking forward to watching him, or?
I was looking forward to watching Nkunku from France as someone that people might want to, whose eyes are not immediately drawn to. You go to Mbappe, Neymar, and all that. That kid can play, mate.
Yeah.
We watched him. We broke down his game. He's got everything. Yeah. So I'm hoping his injury is not as bad. Obviously, I'm looking forward to watching Messi, who I think is the greatest player ever to kick a ball.
Yeah.
From an England perspective, I'm really interested to see Maddison when he steps on the pitch. He's only played once for England for it before, and he's 26, and that is criminal for me, a player of his ability.
Yeah.
Because trust me, he's so talented. So them three.
He's coming in with good form as well, though, isn't he? And he's got that swagger that you know he's just going to He's not even if he feels the pressure, he's not going to show it.
No.
He's got nothing to lose. Nothing to lose. Yeah. Everything to gain. And that is a strong position to be as a footballer.
Yeah, no, I make you right. But, so we talk about Nkunku. That's why I was going for France. But the player that I'm going to be probably excited about, you might find it funny, but it's Cristiano's reaction. Cristiano Ronaldo's reaction on how he's going to take this. Because I know that he's got something to prove now.
Yeah.
Especially after that interview.
Do you know
what I mean? Like, he's got to come out with all guns blazing.
Do you think he's got a chance for the Golden Boot?
Without a doubt.
Once he's on that football pitch, you could not bet against him because you know he's going to get goals if he's supported in the right way. And if the teammates support him as well. So, look, I didn't think Man United was going to be a great fit for him anyway, but I knew he'd score goals if he's on the pitch. And if he's getting that support for his country and everyone, and he's geared up for they're geared up to support him.
Yeah,
he'll score goals, man. So he'll be up for the award, definitely.
Surely, if Harry Kane is up there in contention with Golden Boot, then England have got to be far down the line in the tournament. And
it depends on it'll depend on everyone will look at the names: Wales, Iran, USA, and then think, well, Harry Kane's going to get goals against him. That's not guaranteed because Iran, no doubt, will play two bank of five, a bank of four, and they'll try and spoil. You know, it might not be a lot of space. That game could end up 1-0, 2-0. The Wales game's a derby. That's going to be a tight game. Yeah. And the American game, I think they'll do the same, Sid. I think they'll back off. So I think I want Harry Kane to win it.
Yeah.
I don't think there'll be as many goals as people think from England early on. I think we'll ease into the tournament. Yeah. You know, and the test will come last 16, last 8.
Don't tell that to Harry.
I love Harry. I want him to do it. Love him.
Let's give you some Virgin Bet odds here. If you think Mbappe, who we've not even spoke about, will be the Golden Boot winner, Virgin Bet will give you odds of 8-1. Virgin Bet will give you 25-1 for England to win the World Cup and Harry Kane to grab the Golden Boot. 25-1.
That is some value.
What's Benzema?
Don't know.
Because that's a he's a. That's why you don't know. did you not list it? No, the odds.
Lads don't fancy Benzema.
No.
Mbappe was the one who's grabbing the headlines. Look, that's all we got time for now. Look, great build up for the tournament for the show. Joe, you're going out next week.
Yeah.
To go to Qatar.
I'll send you all a postcard.
Enjoy that. Make sure you take the sun cream.
Can I take the Ecuador flag
Yeah. Wear it as a cape.
I'm getting a Purvis Espoutinen shirt. Listen,
I'm sure if they get goals and you get points on the
league, I'll be knee sliding around the beach of Qatar.
Mate, your team ain't beating this team, I'll tell you that.
Colton, thanks ever so much for coming in. Enjoy the World
Cup.
Enjoy the stuff that you're doing, all the work you're doing with that as well. Well done with that. And you at home, remember, you can find us on the Joe YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcast from. You have been listening to the All To Play For podcast brought to you by Joe and Virgin Bet. Enjoy the World Cup. Come on, England.
You're listening to All To Play For, brought to you by Joe and Virgin Bet.